We are here tonight to talk about topicality and extra topicality. So, let's get started. Raise your hand and give me a good definition of topicality.
A case that is within the bounds of the resolution.
Okay, good. How do we tell if a case is within the bounds of the resolution? Yeah.
We don't really.
We don't. Think.
Well, you do know, but there's a lot of, like, leeway that you
Okay, there can be some gray areas. Let's see. What does the affirmative do to help narrow those gray areas and get the resolution under control in the 1AC? Yes. Yeah. Definitions are where it starts, the affirmative team. This is why the affirmative team posts definitions at the top of their 1AC in order to try to head off topicality issues. And so that's why sometimes it's a good idea to put definitions of key words that might be controversial at the top of the 1AC. Because what if you don't? What if you don't define election law? And then the 1NC gets up and says, well, the affirmative forgot to define it, so we'll define it. And we define it as blah-de-blah. Oh, and lo and behold, their plan doesn't meet our definition that we read. Oh, boy. Now the affirmative is on the defensive. Now they've got to come up with some definition. But why is their definition better than ours? We read the first one in the round. They've got to overcome our definition now. So that's why we put definitions in the 1A. All right. Why do we need topicality? Why is topicality important to a debate round? Raise your hand. What if topicality wasn't an issue? We didn't vote on it. Just told negative teams you're not allowed to argue topicality.
Then
what would happen? What's the impact of that?
It would be unfair to the negative because they have to prepare everything in the world.
Yeah. Okay, so an affirmative team can get up and run a plan under this year to say, okay, our plan is NASA launches a manned mission to Mars. Okay. Is that any new election law? Nope, but it's a real cool plan. And we get new technology, we get economic growth, we get world leadership in space and all this wonderful things. Sounds cool. All right. So, exactly right. It protects the negative team from abuse because that stops the affirmative from doing whatever they feel like doing, whatever they've got the best evidence on or whatever they think's cool, and limits the debate round so the negative can prepare. And that's a big issue. We talk about impacting topicality because remember it's good to impact things and we get in trouble if we don't impact things. Negatives have to, one of the impacts of failing to be topical is abusiveness to the negative team. So we'll talk about that in a minute. All right, how can the negative win on topicality? Well, we'll talk about that, but the first thing to do is I encourage you to avoid junk topicality arguments. There are some teams who think they've got to run topicality every debate round. When I was judging NFL, there were teams who would run two or three topicality arguments every single round. They just had a brief, it was already pre-written. They'd run the same topicality arguments every single round. Didn't matter what the affirmative plan was. They wouldn't even listen to the plan. They just run the same arguments every round. No. I think that's poor debating. So my advice to you is avoid junk or worthless topicality. Don't just run topicality because it sounds cool. Save topicality for when there's a really reasonable chance that the judge is going to agree that this is an abusive case or that this is just too remote from the resolution to really be justified and that there's really some attempt to squeeze something in that really doesn't belong in this resolution. So be judicious about that. I'm not saying don't run it. I'm just saying be judicious. Don't just run it every time like some teams do. All right. Here's my definition of topicality. Before harm, solvency, or disadvantage, the basic duty of the affirmative team is they must indeed affirm the resolution. All right. If they're doing something else, then technically they're not affirming the resolution. They're affirming some other resolution that we're not debating this year. But they're not affirming the resolution that we ought to significantly reform federal election law. So therefore, they're not really being an affirmative team. They're being something else other than an affirmative team. Therefore, the judge really isn't justified in writing affirmative on the ballot. How can we, as affirmative team, avoid getting hit with topicality arguments? Well, one way is to use qualified sources for your definitions. All right. Sometimes what really helps, besides a dictionary, all right, I'm going to rule that out, that's too obvious. What else could be a good qualified source for a definition of a term in a policy debate round? What I'm thinking, what I really have in mind here, is a contextual usage of a word. Yeah?
A law itself that a used word is used in.
Okay, sometimes laws themselves contain definitions of words. So, for example, you might have You might have something that says, for the purpose of this law, federal election law means, or an election is, boom. And it gives some definition within a law. You can cite that and say, okay, this is how the federal government. Sometimes you have agencies, federal agencies, that define what an election is or that define what they're doing. For like in the Marine Natural Resources, we might quote from NOAA where they say, marine resources are blah, 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 blah. So, again, they give an example. Sometimes you may find articles that are written where somebody uses the terms in context. He may not even be giving a definition, but the way he uses it in context illustrates what the word means. And so you say, we see Dr. Expert uses this word in context as shown in the following quote. So contextually we define it. I don't think the second part is a problem. Avoid plans only affirm part of the resolution, but there are some resolutions that are really complex, and an affirmative may only affirm part of the resolution. They don't meet all of it. Make sure the plan proposed actually follows the definitions given. Let me give an example from a few years ago from NFL. Resolution was that the federal government should substantially increase the protection of privacy in one of four areas, and one of the four areas is medical records. Okay, so substantially increase protection of privacy in medical records by the federal government. Here's the affirmative plan. Listen carefully to the plan. The plan was stop requiring mandatory vaccinations for military service members. What would you run as a topicality argument? If you're negative...
Oh, can you repeat the resolution one more time?
Yes. Resolve that the federal government should substantially increase protection of privacy in medical records. The plan is stop mandatory vaccinations of military service. The affirmative's definition of privacy is disclosure of information. Is avoiding disclosure of information. Ryan, gotta raise your hand.
To do with disclosure of information or medical records and actually vaccinating people.
Okay, how so? Does the vaccinations go in your records?
Vaccinations do go in your records, but it's not reforming the records itself. It's reforming what causes the records.
Yep, that's what I would have argued. I'll tell you what the NFL team actually did when I was judging them. That's exactly what I would have argued. The NFL team that was running just ran some generic argument about the word significant. And they completely missed the fact that the plan wasn't even doing what the resolution said. Because they had this cool generic argument they ran every round. And they were not thinking and analyzing what was actually going on in the round they were in. So, listen carefully. Does the plan actually follow the definitions that the affirmative gave? Sometimes they don't. Okay. Topicality means the resolution, the whole resolution, nothing but the resolution. That's what the F has to do. Why do we need topicality? We talked about it. Negative owns the status quo. Affirmative is responsible for change within the resolution. Topicality gives predictability to debate rounds. It means we know that we're going to be debating federal election law when we show up in the room. We're not going to be debating space exploration or anything else. That means there's a limited set of things that you have to prepare for as negative. So, and it checks abuse. So that's what we want. All right. Why is topicality? I think you already know this. It's a voting issue, but so are the other issues. Okay, if you win on topicality and lose on disads, you're still going to lose the round. But topicality is one of several voting issues. Topicality, I think, and Mr. Parks thinks, since he wrote this, is the easiest stock issue for the AF to win. I agree with that. Just stay within the definitions. Run a topical case. Boom, you win on topicality. They probably won't even run the argument. If they do, you'll slap it down easily. I'll tell you, and you tell me if you agree or disagree, those of you that have some experience in this league. The vibe that I get and my own personal feeling about judging is I think that most judges really don't want to vote on topicality.
Yes.
Yeah, you agree with me? Okay. Have you done some judging in the league? What do you think about that? Is that...
I agree. It has to be really blatant.
Just abusive. So that's why I would say if you're looking over during your prep time after the 1AC, and let's say you've got a big stack of evidence over there. Okay? Maybe you've got enough for 10 or 15 arguments. So you have to choose and prioritize. Maybe if we know that the judges in this league don't like to vote on topicality, maybe it's not a good thing to say, well, let's run three topicality arguments and two disads. Maybe we'd be better off running five disads and just skip topicality. If we can beat this case by some other means, let's beat the case by some other means.
There's a coach in our region. We are watching a debate, and actually, the negative team, they were for my club, they actually should have run topicality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a valid issue where they could have run topicality, and they didn't, which is okay, and they ended up doing okay. They lost, but it was the final round, and they were going up against a tough team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the coaches that was not, was from a different state, was talking to us at the end, and he said, because they were talking about, well, we didn't really want to add topicality to our list. And he said, if you run topicality, to effectively run topicality, get up, argue topicality, and sit down.
Because
he said, you'll put yourself in a double bind if you say, you know, they're not topical, but it won't solve the problem, and it's not a significant enough problem. He said, if you're going to effectively argue it, just get up, give the judge the topicality argument, sit down.
That's interesting. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I think that's
I think it's too risky.
Risk.
Yeah.
Huge.
That's called suicide tea, is what that's something they call that. Yeah, you're betting the entire round on topicality. I understand the philosophy behind it. The philosophy behind it is that topicality says we shouldn't even be debating this plan. Therefore,
yeah,
it would be useless to me to run any other arguments because we shouldn't even be debating it.
Yeah, there was these two guys that thought they had the best case ever, and they ran, like, this case. They changed every single tournament, but this one they really liked. They lost, they got zero, you know, they didn't win any times, and every single one was topicality issue because it didn't have anything to do with the resolution, really. I mean, it was kind of a cool case.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they're always out, like, an hour early or whatever. And I was like, has to be really off topic.
And it's too bad they don't learn from that kind of mistake. I mean, it's like, why do you keep running that if you keep getting beaten on topicality? Yeah. So, and that's the purpose of topicality, is to check that kind of abuse and teach kids who do that a lesson. They're just going to lose every time, so stop doing that. But no, I don't recommend suicide topicality. I wouldn't do it myself. I never did when I was a debater. It's just too risky. On the other hand, if you don't do it that way, this is the alternative. If you get up there and say, well, judge, it's abusive to the negative team because we can't prepare for a round if you're running outside the resolution. Oh, and I also have 10 other arguments. Wait a minute, I thought you said you couldn't prepare for the round.
Yeah.
And that's how I'd respond to it if I were AF. If you say it's abusive to the negative because you can't prepare, then why are you running all these other arguments? How did you prepare those arguments if you're telling me you can't prepare? So you're just kidding about your topicality impact. Yeah.
At that point, would it be a good idea to just bring up logical arguments as if you didn't have a brief against it or any sort of evidence or a card saying something about it? Since you said that you couldn't prepare because it is outside the lines of...
Well, that's kind of a modified suicide option, I guess. Kind of a euthanasia option or something. I don't know. I wouldn't do that. No.
Going off of Carl's question, like, they didn't have hardly any evidence. It was a very, very squirrely case.
Yeah.
Very, very squirrely case. And they didn't have, there wasn't really any evidence, so they tried to use, you know, generic briefs and things like that instead of doing topicality. And they actually kind of danced around topicality. They just never said it.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, you know, we had talked about that maybe instead they could have run a minor repair.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if I look at it now, I would think that would that be like a smarter alternative for topicality?
Sure.
You can just run a minor repair.
It depends on the case, because not all cases are vulnerable to minor repairs.
Right.
But sure. I mean, I think you should run topicality and the other arguments. Maybe the way to beat that suicide turn on the affirmative side is, instead of saying the impact is abuse of the negative, we can't prepare, maybe you say the impact is, judge, there's no affirmative team in this debate round. Therefore, no matter who wins, you can't vote affirmative. How about that? So I'm not saying I can't prepare, because I'm prepared for bad debaters. But no matter who wins, you can't vote affirmative. Yes.
What about, like, last year, the resolution was significantly reformed in the United Nations. And there was one case that we went against that they said that the only their plan was to have the United Nations adopt an official definition of terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no evidence or anything. So basically our only argument was that's not significant enough to be under the resolution. So would that be one of those ways?
Yeah, you can do that. Let's talk about one issue that I've actually engaged in some discussion with. And I think the more high-powered debate coaches understand this, and I think a lot of students don't. Every TP resolution has within it a word like substantial or significant in the resolution. All right? But we also have a stock issue called significance. And there's a lot of mixing and confusion of those two words to the point where sometimes nobody knows at the end of the round what we're talking about. All right? So this year's resolution, is the use of significant or substantial? I've forgotten already. Yeah, for federal election law. Is it significantly reform?
Yes.
Okay. So, significantly reform. And significant harms or advantages, right? The affirmative team has to do both, don't they? All right. Let me ask you a question. Suppose we made a big, huge change to election reform, and we changed like 300 federal laws, and you know, moved all everything around and all this stuff. And the advantage is we save $1 out of the federal budget. Okay, is that topical?
No.
Yes.
Yes, it's topical, but it's not significant.
Topical, but not significant.
Yeah.
It's completely topical. I changed 300 federal election laws. I moved all the congressional districts around. And then the only advantage I claim is we save $1 out of the federal budget. Okay? Topical? Absolutely. It's a huge reform. But I'm still going to lose the round down here under significance of harms or advantages. Now, let's do the reverse. Suppose I move the boundaries of one congressional district by 28 feet in somewhere in Iowa. All right, so their electoral district is moved by 28 feet. And the benefit is I save $1 billion out of the federal budget. Topical?
Yes.
No.
Yes, no, and maybe. You may all be right. Why was it one way and not the other? Why are you giving me a different answer?
Because significantly reform is in the resolution.
Yes.
And
did moving the boundary 28 feet significantly reform anything?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so.
Well, I think.
But then you have to then they're going to ask you to define significance. What is significantly? And they've already defined it.
Here's the analysis that I suggest that you can do for topicality on something like this. And I call it a numerator denominator analysis. And I've never heard anybody else use this terminology, so I ought to patent it or something. What I think you can do up here is, what does significant modify? Significant is an adjective in this context. What does it modify? The reform. Okay? It doesn't modify advantages. It modifies reform. So if I were arguing this and somebody moved the boundary 28 feet or something, I would say, wait a minute. That word significant modifies the reform. It doesn't modify the advantages. That's a different issue. And I would argue that what we measure is the change, how much change divided by the total of what could have been changed. So we're changing 28 feet boundary out of 435 congressional districts. So we're changing part of one out of 435. So maybe that change affects 1% of the land area. So 1% of 1 over 435. So what's that? 0.01 divided by 435. So is that a significant change to the electoral districts and the way they're chosen? Not really. That's like a 0.000 something percent change. And I would read those numbers to the judge. Say, that's the percent change that we're doing here. It may have wonderful benefits, but it's still not topical. Now, many judges won't buy that and won't vote on that. They will say, yeah, but if the impacts are significant, then it's a significant reform. And many debaters will argue that, and they can win debate rounds on it. I've probably won debate rounds avoiding that problem by pointing the judge down here. And there's probably a lot of debate within the debate world about whether that's a legitimate way to make something a significant reform is by pointing out the big advantages. But I think if you really talk to the high-powered debate coaches and judges, they would say, wait a minute, those are two separate issues, and they have to be judged separately. They're not the same thing. And you're confusing things if you slide this and move it up here. I don't know. That's open to debate. Different people have different opinions about it. But I think a good case can be made that this will be non-topical. Significant advantages, but non-topical change. Okay, what if we go after the affirmative's definitions? Well, if they don't meet their own definition, that's the easiest topicality argument to win. And we talked about that a minute ago, the example I cited of the vaccination plan, where they gave a definition and their own plan didn't meet it. That's rare, but like I said, I've seen it happen at least once. What if their definition is flawed? I'm trying to think of an example of when I've ever seen this before. Has anybody hit a team that's run a too broad definition of something and been able to beat them on it?
Yeah, they have a really, really bad definition because it wasn't really specific to what organization they were. I can't even remember which one it was, but they had this really big definition defining this little tiny one that they were doing, but it didn't. I can't really describe it. It just didn't make any sense. We won.
Okay.
Like, so, if their definition was just so broad that wasn't specific, mm-hmm. and so we were able to question them, well, are you meaning this, this, or this, this? You know, what are you talking about? And they didn't really. You know, they just, so we won. Ended up winning, but.
Okay. So you can win if the affirmative's definition is flawed, I guess is the point that you would agree with. Doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. So if they read it in a poor source or really too broad definition, I had an example of too broad definition that I read on in the back of my mind that I think I've seen before, but it's just, I don't remember now. Okay, well anyway, it can happen. Or out of context. Imagine if the resolution is resolved that the United Nations should be significantly reformed, okay? So they define united as joined together and nations as a group, as a bunch of countries. So therefore we're going to reform NATO because NATO is a bunch of countries joined together. Well, okay, but that doesn't respect the context of what United Nations means, does it? The resolution has a context, a contextual meaning. When we say United Nations, that brings up a specific context of an organization of countries in New York, not just any group of countries that happen to be united in some purpose. So context can be important. That can also be a negative response that says, for example, if we have a definition of federal, a definition of election, and a definition of law, if we define them all separately, maybe we might be able to get more things in that would be too broad. Whereas if we define election law as this type of thing, then maybe election law has a particular meaning in some contexts. So you might want to look at that and see if you can play around with that a little bit. How do you beat it? Read a better definition. I strongly recommend that you prepare a topicality brief. And by that I mean write up a brief listing the definitions of all the keywords in the resolution. And bring it with you when you go negative. That way, if the affirmative team fails to define something or reads a bad definition, out of context, poor source, too broad, get up there in the 1NC and read your own definition from your dictionary or your prepared brief. And say, judge, their definition is bad because, and I'll talk about this in a second, our definition is, ours is better. Let me show you how that impacts the round. All right. Show the impact if you accept their abusive definition. Their definition is too broad. It means that almost anything could be topical this year. That's abusive. You should penalize their behavior by giving a negative ballot. Let's talk about effects topicality. For Candy, what is effects topicality? Have you ever heard that term before? Do you know what it means? Nope. Okay. What it is, here's an example. Resolve, blah-de-blah, should change environmental policy. All right? The plan. Federal Reserve raises interest rates, coal companies won't be able to expand, less coal is burned, and therefore the environment benefits. So what's the mandate of the plan? Federal Reserve raises interest rates. Okay, have we significantly changed environmental policy? Nope. We had an effect on the environment, didn't we? Sorry, we had four cards that linked to it, and the environment benefited. Okay, so why isn't it topical?
Because it's talking about the plan is for environmental benefits, but, I mean, the resolution is talking about changing environmental policy.
Right. The issue here is that the mandates themselves, Federal Reserve raises interest rates, that is not an environmental policy. It is a monetary policy that has some effect on the environment, if we read enough cards. All right? So an affirmative would be trying to rely on effects topicality. The effects of the plan link back to the topic. And they're trying to scoot it in, but negatives have to call them on it and say, wait a minute, stop. Your plan mandates themselves don't do what the resolution says. So therefore, this cannot be accepted as topical. Here's another example. The UN should be significantly reformed. So, and the inherency is the UN Poverty Fund has $1 billion in it. Our plan is to increase the fund by $1. Is my plan here topical? The UN Poverty Fund is $1 billion. My plan is to increase the fund by $1.
Absolutely not.
No way. Absolutely not. I agree with you. All right? But watch what happens on the next slide. The advantage one is the $1 increase in the fund would be enough to restart a critical mission in Africa and we save 20,000 lives. Does that make the plan topical now?
The topicality is still not there, but the stock issue is.
Right. You see why? This is why I hid the second slide and I made you reach a decision about topicality before you heard what the advantage was. Topicality should be determined by the mandates, right? At least I think it should be. They're two separate issues, aren't they? So I think you can make a pretty good argument that you need to separate those issues. All right. What is extra topicality? Well, this is where the affirmative mandates do accomplish the resolution, but they also add some extra things that were not in the resolution. Okay, a simple test would be, could we do this mandate without affirming the resolution? If there's a mandate in the plan that we could do without affirming the resolution, then that mandate is extra topical. Yes.
So an example of that would be that your plan, mandate one, require a federal mandate in law that all voters must have a voter ID. Number two, that these voters must also use their ID when they go to check in at the hotel. They must also show their ID whenever they're at the grocery store.
Bingo. Okay, you did election law, and then you did three other things, too. Good example. The most classic one is abolish the Electoral College, mandate one. Mandate two, launch a manned mission to Mars. Okay, I love using that. That's the most out-of-this-world example that I can think of. Okay? So, did we do the resolution? Yep, but we also threw in something else. Okay, most affirmative teams aren't that wild and crazy. Usually what they do is more like this. How about this one? What do you got here?
I could argue significance. No, it's the second one.
Okay, why, Olivia?
Well, because it has nothing to do with trade, or foreign trade for that matter. All it has to do with is assistance to auto workers who are displaced.
Right. Now, you don't get the candy until you can tell me why an affirmative team would throw Mandate 2 in there. Why would they do that if it's extra topical? What's their motive? I'm going to give Olivia a chance because she got the first part right.
Wouldn't their motive just be to create another advantage?
Not in this case. Not to create an advantage, no. Some extra topical things are designed for that purpose, but not this one. Who do you think a displaced auto worker would be? Somebody who, what?
You mean like financially displaced or... like physically displaced?
Neither one.
Neither one?
Displaced by what happens in Mandate 1.
Oh, okay. So once they remove the trade barriers.
Then what happens? What are negatives? What's every negative team going to do as soon as you do Mandate 1? They're going to run what?
Okay. If they remove trade barriers on imported cars, auto workers will be displaced.
Yes. Displaced how?
What?
Because of their first mandate.
Well, yeah, but what do I mean by displaced there?
Like, they'll lose their jobs.
Yeah, they'll lose their jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so every negative team that hears this case is going to run a big diss at unemployed auto workers. Because now all these new cars are going to come in, they're going to buy these foreign cars, American auto workers will be laid off. Okay, well, so the affirmative says, oh, no, they won't, no problem, we're going to help those guys, help them get new jobs, retrain them. So, no problem. That dissent goes away, right?
That's sneaky.
Right, but wrong. Yeah.
Wrong.
And that's the affirmative's thinking, because they're tired of getting run with this dissent. Mm-hmm. They want negatives to stop running this dissent, so they're trying to beat it. So they throw this mandate in, but the mandate's extra topical. But that's why affirmative teams throw extra topical things in, is either to gain an extra advantage or to beat a disad or spike a disad so the negative won't even run it to start with. All right, yeah, there it is. That's the extra topical part. All right, and there's the two reasons why extra topical mandates sometimes appear. To spike a disad so they won't even run it to start with, or to gain extra advantages that they couldn't gain just by doing the resolution. Maybe, well, give you an example for this year. The card that you girls read, I think you read it, Nicole, in that debate round that I judged earlier. The card about the utopian fantasy that we can fix it through campaign finance reform. That really, to solve the problem, we have to cut the size of government, right?
Yes.
Solve the corruption, the influence. We have to cut government size, all right? Now, what if some smart affirmative team running the Citizens United plan gets tired of hearing that card every round because they can't beat that card? So they put mandate 2, cut the size of government. Cut the federal budget by 25%. You know, eliminate the welfare and 20% of the Defense Department. Okay? Boom. Problem solved. Not going to hear that card anymore, are we?
Judge, their second mandate is extra topical and is not covered in this year's resolution.
Right.
As such, we would please ask you to discount the second mandate.
Bingo. That's exactly what we do. In the 1NC, we get up and we say, Judge, that mandate is extra topical because it could be done without the resolution. We could cut the size of government without affirming anything about election law, couldn't we? We could cut the defense budget. We could cut the welfare budget. We don't need election law change to do that. So it's extra topical. That's the test of extra topicality. Could it be done without the resolution? Yes. Okay. Therefore, this mandate should be dropped from the round. It shouldn't be considered as part of this debate round because it's extra topical. We'll be happy to debate the rest of their plan, but we will not debate that mandate, and we will not allow that to be used as part of this debate round. It should not be considered, and Judge, you should drop it from the round. Now, if that mandate cannot be used in this debate round, so what? You got to tell me an impact. All right? So what's the so what to dropping the cut the size of government mandate out of this hypothetical plan, Carl?
The card about a large government.
Yes, the card. And
so it's responding to. And so you're responding to arguments that you're going to make.
Yes, and therefore what would you do?
Run a disadvantage of some sort.
No. What you would do is go ahead and read that card anyway. And you would say, Judge, I don't care if they put this mandate in there. It's extra topical. We're going to run this argument anyway. And they cannot use that mandate to beat this card. All right, so you go ahead and run it. So that's our, in this case, it's a solvency argument. Can't solve for influence and corruption. And therefore, with no solvency, no reason to vote affirmative. That's the impact.